Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I hate that so much. I don't know how to describe how much I hate it. Welcome in! Done messed up all my stuff over here. Why do I sound like I've been to a rock and roll concert, too? I did not know I had a scratchy voice until right this very second. That's incredible. Good morning!
Well, you know, if you actually spoke to people in the morning and weren't such a curmudgeon and like all to yourself, all, you know, like hunkered down by your desk, don't want anyone to talk to you and everything, maybe then you would have known that your voice doesn't work.
I was in here with Lonzo this morning because, hey, Chris, stuff's broken my desk again, which I didn't do. I had nothing to do with it.
Don't do that on the air. Don't be that guy.
So it's not his fault. It just happened this morning. But I was in here with a great one and, We talked a bunch, and so I'm way behind. The stream's up, by the way. Stream's up. I didn't get that done, so that's good news. Whatever you say, Coach. We got a lot to get to today, man. Somebody pointed out how good of a sports weekend this is. I mean, a genuinely good sports weekend. The college football slate is incredible. The Ryder Cup is this weekend.
That's the golf, right?
That is the golf, right. That is correct. Team USA taking on Team Europe up at Bethpage Black.
Is that like on the air when football's on?
Yeah.
Okay.
And it will absolutely have a spot on the Rob Brown Show itinerary of television.
I mean, I would just think that maybe they could like schedule that in a place where there's no football. So they would get more eyes on the product. That's all.
It just seems
like a bad time of the year to do it.
That's, anybody who is in on the Ryder Cup is in on the Ryder Cup. Anybody who goes, I'd be in on the Ryder Cup if it wasn't during football, isn't really in on the Ryder Cup. That's like, it's fine. It's great. It's fall. It's after the PGA season. You got to let that finish because you can't put it in the middle of the season and throw these guys up. It's a different style of golf.
It could be like the NBA's mid-season tournament. You could do that.
Yeah, but that's played in season and it's still playing basketball
team. That's what I'm saying.
This is not the same.
In the middle of golf season and it would be the same thing.
No, it's not. No, it's not the same thing at all because the format of this golf tournament is not just go out there and play golf. There are guys who will play like a lot of rounds, there are guys who won't play at all. There is match play. There's group play. There's scratch play.
It's pretty cool, actually.
It's great.
Yeah, but I would think that you would put it in a place where more people would hear it. That's all, watch it rather.
I don't know that there is that place. Is the point? And even if there was, like I understand what you are saying in terms of
like
being able to get ratings and all that.
Right,
but at the end
right.
of the day, and this is going to be such a. No, it's not even a nose in the air thing. The reality is if you're in on golf and you're going to watch it, you're going to watch it. If you're not in on golf, you're not going to watch this anyway.
So you're making it sound like, well, we don't need you. We only need the people who
not at all.
No, you said that it may sound that
way. Yes, me. Yeah. The guy who has for 5 years now constantly been pitching ideas to golf about how to get more eyes on the TV.
I didn't say that you said it. You said it may sound a certain way, and I was clarifying that, yes, you're right. It does sound that way. That's all.
The reality of this tournament, as much as it is one of my favorite events of the year, and I will be 1,000% locked in to every shot that is hit this weekend, as much as it is one of my favorite events, if you want competition in golf, this is the event to watch. It's going to be more competitive. You know, you look at the
It's in the United States this time.
Right? It is in the United States.
So it won't be as good. Because when it's in Europe, there's jeering and stuff.
I think you will be shocked by how good it is this year. Because this is the first time in a while where there is some level of optimism about the Americans. It's still dogs, still underdogs in this, but there still is some level of optimism for what the Americans can do this weekend in the Ryder Cup. And we'll talk about that because there was a very interesting thing that happened yesterday in the world of golf that I actually planned on talking about later on today. The discussion circling around Bryson DeChambeau, because there was a discussion. Actually, I lied to you. The Americans actually now favored to win the Ryder Cup. We'll come to that a little bit later on. But there is a dude that works for the Golf Channel that has been, for the past couple of years, he has been kind of on a bit of a vendetta against Bryson DeChambeau. And I don't really have a problem with it, because while Bryson DeChambeau on one hand has like been building up this social media influencer reputation with his YouTube channel, which has like millions of subscribers and viewers to it now, and he's been doing some really fun stuff. He did this competition not too long ago where he was inviting people like viewers to his house to try to get a hole in one on a green that he had built in his backyard, but you had to shoot the ball over his house, landed on the green, and get a hole in one. And he like gave away a Lamborghini or something. Like, he's been doing very interesting stuff on his YouTube channel, and he's kind of built this golf influencer personality around him. But there is also a lot of rumors out there that Bryson DeChambeau is still kind of a petulant child away from this character that he's created. And that's effectively what the claim is that Bryson DeChambeau has kind of created this character to get away from who he is as a guy, which is just kind of this petulant man-child to some degree. And so there's a guy on the Golf Channel that has had this vendetta against Bryson DeChambeau for some time. And earlier this week, he was like, this guy is a nightmare for the Ryder Cup team. He's a nightmare because he's a locker room cancer, and he's going to make it about him. And while he presents this forward face to you guys, that's not who he is. Well, yesterday, of course, obviously, the folks in the media all immediately went to the Ryder Cup team, the Ryder Cup guys, and were like, hey, talk to us about Bryson DeChambeau. And they all rushed to his defense. They're like, no, he's a great dude. He's you know, I've partnered with him before. He's done nothing but good work, yada, yada, yada. And it's this interesting conversation the day before the opening ceremony. The opening ceremony is actually happening tomorrow, because of inclement weather expected on Thursday when it was supposed to take place. So the opening ceremony tomorrow, we'll start the golf on Friday. But there's this kind of discussion that's cropped up about locker room chemistry and all that at a point in time where, again, this is a year that the Americans have some optimism. So coming up later on in the show.
Do they actually have a locker room?
Yeah. I mean, most country clubs like this have a locker room.
Okay.
And so then they are utilized by the guys on tour.
It's more of a dressing room, though, than a locker room.
Right? I mean, dressing room is just the fancy, snooty way of saying locker room. It's still lockers, and it's still a room. Ergo, it is still a locker room. Dressing rooms, there's a fancier way of saying it.
I've seen one, I think it's at Thornblade. Maybe it was Thornblade. BMW was there one year when I was there,
yeah,
and I was able to go in and look around. And it had like a barber's chair and
yep,
stuff in there. That's
when you start getting to the when you start getting into the upper end, like the upper echelon of golf courses, dude, like some of these dressing rooms, you're like, I just live here now. I just stay here. I've been in one before in Florida, yeah, down in South
it's
Florida.
It's more of a club than it is a...
Oh, for sure.
I say club, I don't mean, you know, chicken wings and
yeah,
stuff.
These are not the type of golf courses that you can just call and get a tee time. Like, you got to know it. You either have to be a member or know a guy. I was in one down in just outside of Tampa with a buddy of mine whose dad is a member a very long time ago. And their dressing room, like, it has a bar in it. And when I say bar, I mean there's a bartender. All he does is tend the bar in the dressing room. Like, there's just one guy with a fully stocked bar who only is in the locker room. You can just be in there getting you ready for your round and walk over. It's open bar. You just get whatever you want whenever you want to get it. Leave a tip, move on. Like, there's some, it had a sauna in it. Get done with your round, pop into the sauna for just a minute.
Yeah,
spectacular.
Yeah, hang out with John Daly in the sauna. I don't know.
Telling me you want to hang out with John Daly? I want to hang out with John Daly.
He's an excellent actor.
Happy Gilmore 2 is amazing. All right, we got to get quite a bit in today. Coming up later on in the show, because we didn't get to it yesterday because I am bad at this job. We've got to do this week's... We've got to do this week's awards. So we're coming to those later.
You were working on audio over there. I couldn't take a chance of...
That's fair. You know. We've got your TMF INR awards coming up later on in this radio program. We're going to talk about that. I've got to give you what I think at this point might be the one stat, maybe one number, that I think I most credit for the doom of this 2025 football season for the Clemson Tigers. There is something that was pointed out to me yesterday on social media, and I've called it out a number of times. In fact, yesterday when we were having our conversation about Dabo's reaction during his radio show, and I said, I don't think this is the right way to handle it, Zoe asked me the question, and he said, well, then, like, what would you say to make it feel as if you weren't answering a question instead of what Dabo did say? And off the top of my head, I came up with six things that I would address. One of the things that I would address is, why is this offensive line as bad as it appears to be? Well, yesterday, a number about this offensive line got put in front of my face, and I went, there it is. There it is. There's your number. There's your reason. There's your doom. Now, there's a lot more to it that still has to be addressed, and this is true about South Carolina as well. So, the conversation that I would like to have today about your two football teams, Clemson fans and South Carolina fans. At the beginning of every season, about a week or two out from the start of the season, there is an annual conversation that we have. And that annual conversation that we have is, I ask you as fans to set a realistic ceiling and floor for your football team. Now, this year coming into the season, the ceiling for the Clemson Tigers was 12-0, 13-0, undefeated ACC champion. Win a bunch of playoff games, go to the Nat. That's fair. Or at least it felt fair at the time. I asked the same for the South Carolina Gamecocks, and most of you Gamecocks fans said the ceiling is 10-2, the floor is 8-4. Somewhere in the middle is what I thought the ceiling was, which is 9-3. And punch your way into either maybe participating for an ACC or an SEC title game, but more realistically, according to you guys, grab yourself with a 10-2 or a 9-3 record. Grab yourself the 11 or the 12 seed in the playoffs. Well, at this point, I am convinced, and I'm assuming most of you are as well, neither one of those two things are happening. Even Dabo said on his show, we're not winning the national championship this year, so we need to reevaluate. We need to reestablish where we are, what we are, and what our expectations are for the remainder of this season.
Have they been mathematically eliminated?
Nobody. You can't be mathematically eliminated in college football because it's obviously very subjective, which is why there is another conversation we'll have later on
in
the show.
The reason why I'm asking that, because there was no chance for them to make it into the ACC championship last year with the way that season went, and they did. And then they ended up in the playoffs.
I am going to respectfully disagree. There was a, we'll need some help, and they got it in the form of Georgia Tech.
So there's no chance that, I mean, we're early enough in the season that if they won the rest of their games and some other ACC teams were to lose games to each other, and there's no chance that they could get back into it. So there's 0% of hope for all the Clemson fans out there.
Zero, no, but it's like a Powerball odds ticket at this point.
So there's a chance.
I mean, sure, but at the same time, I don't go around and blow all my money because I go, hey, there's a chance I win the Powerball. No, there's, I mean, there.
Allegedly, you don't do that.
No, I definitely okay. don't. Even if I did, you wouldn't be able to tell a difference.
That's what I'm saying. I don't, I mean.
But you know. No, you have a Powerball shot. And keep in mind, like, you would need Georgia Tech now to lose three conference games at this point because they have a tiebreaker over you. So
probably
even if
not
going to
happen,
there,
but it's not out of the realm of possibility. this early on the season.
I mean,
that's all I'm saying.
Again, not out of the realm of possibility, but then again, neither is me walking outside and finding a gold bar fell out of a plane and landed next to my car, and I'm rich now.
Well, if it fell out of a plane and landed next to your car, there would, I mean...
You don't have to think about the actual ramifications of the hypothetical here.
Okay.
You get what I'm saying?
I'm just wondering how much of a how deep into the earth it would go, and if you would actually be able to get it out of there, and if it would remain intact because it's a gold bar and gold is malleable, and if it, you know, there's just a lot of things in there.
Listen, the point is, I could walk outside and somebody could hand me a check for $1 million and say, you did a great job, good job, go retire. But that I'm not going to bank, I'm not going to plan my life on that. Here's the other part.
You're right, because you would say, well, that's not enough.
Yeah, you know me. Here's the other part of that. There's the other part of this that has to be discussed as well, which is you've still got a very interesting ACC slate left out ahead of you at this point, right? You've still got Florida State out there waiting for you. That team looks for real. SMU is clearly not the same team that they were last year. But that's still not a
Clemson
not a bad
did
team.
Did not get their butt beat in their losses. I mean, they're close.
Incorrect.
Yeah, I think they're
incorrect. So you are telling me right now that Georgia Tech didn't whip the absolute dog. You know what? Out of Clemson.
What was the final score?
No. Final score doesn't indicate what the game went like. It's not final score indicates.
It does, though. You can get your butt whipped the entire game and then run a kickback for a touchdown and win the game.
So you watched the game. Did they do that? Was Clemson ever, I asked you the next day, was there ever a point Clemson was in this game? And you said no. That's an ass whipping. You said no.
I can't remember. So if you say
oh,
so,
I can.
I'm going to go.
Oh, I can. I said on Monday.
I don't remember.
There was
that
zero
was like
points.
That was a month ago.
No,
dude.
I'm talking about the Syracuse game.
Oh, okay.
Against Syracuse.
Well, you just said Georgia Tech.
That
and
one,
you
too.
Then you jumped in the, okay.
There was maybe 5 or 10 minutes.
Oh,
where
no, Syracuse,
like,
that was bad.
That was really an ass beating.
It was.
There's no other way around that. So no. Like, they were right there. No, you weren't. Syracuse dominated you literally from the get. They scored on their opening drive. They turned around. They got an onside kick. They drove down and got another field goal. You were up 10 or they were up 10 nothing before you touched the ball.
Trying to be positive for our Clemson friends out there, trying to give them some hope, because that's what I'm about. I'm never anything negative. I'm always about hope, and I'm trying to give it to them, and you're just poo-pooing everything.
I'm a realist. You got your ass beat by Syracuse this weekend. As far as I'm concerned, like, Georgia Tech had you better than a 24-21 final score indicates. You still got
Admittedly,
Florida State.
I did send you a text, but you didn't read
yes,
it.
Yes, no, I did. I just wasn't going to respond to it in that moment. You got Florida State out ahead of you
like,
still.
Like you ever have.
You're at Louisville later on in the year. That's a team that can put up 70 points on just about anybody. You've still got, even if I give you North Carolina and Boston College, again, like, Duke isn't. I said there was a double-ended spectrum here for Duke, either on one hand, Mike Elko was the guy, Manny Diaz ain't, they're going to stink, or Manny Diaz is the guy and they're not going to stink. They're 2-2, but they did just hang 45 on NC State. That Duke game is not a for granted.
The sun will come out tomorrow. Bet your bottom dollar at tomorrow.
Yeah, but the problem is sun. Tomorrow right now, tomorrow for the expectations you had this year, tomorrow's 2026. Tomorrow is a year away. And never once did you hear Little Orphan Annie singing, I love you tomorrow, you're only a year away. That would be a much more disappointing play.
That was in the sequel.
I didn't know there was a sequel. Here's the point, people. Here's what I would like to do today on the radio program. Instead of doing it like we do at the beginning of the year, where we say set your realistic ceilings and expectations for this year, let's do it for the rest of the year. And I want you to be realistic. Don't pick up the phone if you're a Clemson fan and go, Rob, realistically, we go undefeated the rest of the year. Because not what I've seen so far. Realistic ceiling and floor for Clemson. Realistic ceiling and floor the rest of the ride for South Carolina. We'll address those. We'll take a look at what is left out ahead. We'll talk about the one big number that I think indicates a massive problem for these two football teams. We got to get some baseball in here. The Yankees have clinched. The Mariners have clinched. We'll set your
Dude,
bracket
that
up.
That belt is sweet.
Yeah, WWE's made all those for most of the teams who have won titles.
I know, but for some reason, that one looks really cool.
It's because it's white. White belts are dope. All right, we'll take a break. We're back after this. The Rob Brown Show's on your radio. It's the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a great conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Setting a realistic ceiling and floor moving forward for both Clemson and South Carolina. Joy B, the first one to chime in. He said Clemson's new ceiling is 9-3 based on the fact that they still have more talent than anyone else on their schedule. Their floor is 2-10 because outside of Furman, there's not a team they can't lose to at this point. Yeah, I mean, that's a big window, Joey B, between they can win every game except one or they can lose every game except one the rest of the ride. I would agree with the sentiment, but here is the problem that
that's
I'm having.
So that's, I mean, if you were new to this show and you're listening, the first thing you would think is, okay, that's a coaching problem.
That's exactly what I was about to say. This year feels like the problem, and I would make the argument, this may be true with South Carolina as well. I think the issue that you have right now in this spot is that when you look at it from the perspective of talent, right? Like I had this take on Monday when we were talking about the loss to Syracuse. On Monday, which was, of course, was 2 days ago. I had this thought about this team on Monday. I wasn't banging the drum as a lot of other folks were on Monday about, oh, well, this is a reflection of Dabo not using the portal. This is a reflection on Dabo not, you know, participating in enhancing, promoting whatever NIL. I didn't go there. And I didn't go there for one reason. I didn't go there for the reason that the roster is better for Clemson than it was Syracuse. I would make the argument that while it is maybe the best roster they've ever had, and while Haynes King is absolutely a dog, the roster for Clemson is obviously still better than Georgia Tech's. Those two games were a team full of better players losing to a team that has less talent on their roster, and it happened twice. The LSU game, while I don't believe it necessarily to be true, I could make the argument, at least, that LSU is either on par with or perhaps even slightly better than Clemson. I don't think it is. I would say it's on par with. But, like, the point is, that's a game you could look and go, LSU was just a better football team. But Georgia Tech is not a better on-paper football team. Syracuse is not on paper a better football team. You know what both of those teams were? More well-coached. I also gave on Monday what I believe to be the four pillars of being a successful college football coach in 2025. Retaining, development, and execution in game. This is why I've been banging the drum that from this point forward, I'm in on coaches who are football dudes, like guys who get the game, guys who understand the X's and the O's of the game. And I'm not talking from a standpoint of just understanding them, but I'm talking from a standpoint of knowing them, being able to adjust in game and on the fly to what is happening, and being able to communicate that to the players in a way that the players see, hear, embrace, and take to heart, right? Like, it is one thing if you're the smartest dude in the room, if you are trying to tell everybody else in the room what it is that needs to be done for something to be successful, if you can't get them to listen to you, believe you, and then follow you to that victory, it doesn't matter. It doesn't. And just like with a lot of other things in life, there are a lot of people who have no bleeping idea what needs to be done to be successful, but they're so charismatic that people follow them anyway. That, like, that's not a football dude. I need a dude who gets X's and O's and is also capable, because they are a football dude and football players connect with football dudes. This is the Miami Dolphins problem we talked about, right? Like, it was one thing when Mike McDaniel walked into the office and won over the Dolphins front office, and they told the locker room, like, y'all follow this dude, he's a dude. And he showed up and they had the number two offense in football, and everything was hunky-dory down there in Miami, Florida. And then the wheels came off for just a minute, and you saw how fast that locker room completely abandoned Mike McDaniel. And now the dude went from, like, oh, that's the funny little dork with the vape pen on the sideline, to that guy looks like he needs somebody to ask him if he's okay, right? It's kind of that. So, yeah, like, it just doesn't sound great. And I think that's because the locker room abandoned him, because while he's a brilliant football mind, he's not a football dude. And you know exactly what the hell I mean when I say a football dude, and he's not one. So, with that being said, I am looking at this Clemson football team, a team that two of your three losses are to a team that on paper just aren't as good as you are. And that does lead me to believe I'm chalking this right up to one of two things. It is either A, pillar number three, development. Are you making the players that are on your roster, once you get them there and once you convince them to stay there, are you making them better? And I think the answer for this is no. This is why I have pointed out a few times, the question that I like to ask is, what's better? From week one LSU to week two Troy, from week two Troy to week three Georgia Tech, from week three Georgia Tech to week four Syracuse, what's better? Because it ain't the quarterback. It's not the offensive line. The defensive line got beat by Georgia Tech so bad that Syracuse was inspired. I firmly believe that. That Georgia Tech whipped Clemson at the point of attack, their offensive line won at the point of attack so much that the guys at Syracuse watching tape, I have zero doubt, went, we can do that. Like, that's within our realm of possibility. We can do that. So then Syracuse comes out and lays the wood down on Clemson at the line of scrimmage. Like, of course, that's going to be the result. Football dude, Brent Key, football dude, Fran Brown. I talked to both of them at ACC Media Days. Both of them just absolute football dudes. Well coached. The boys in the locker room are all in. They adapted on the fly to what was happening. And they've got the best rosters. Well, Georgia Tech's got the best roster they've ever had. I don't think Syracuse is anywhere close to it, but I won't be shocked if over the next 2 years they develop it, because wins like that over Clemson, that's how you do that. That is how you do that. So with all that being said, I think that we do chalk it up to coaching. And the second part of this conversation is, as I told you a few weeks ago, I feel like, although this has kind of always been a reality, I am shifting over even further to the paradigm of, I'm just going to judge based on what's on tape. I'm just going to judge based on what you've shown me. I'm just going to judge based on what you have laid down as an example for me to judge. Not what I feel, not what might happen. I was on with Brad Evans last night, and we talked about this week's Illinois v. USC game. And he said, you know, I think Illinois is a dog by 6.5. And Horvat was like, there's no way they don't bounce back, right? And I said, here's the thing, man. Like, what on tape about that game last week where Indiana shut them down? What on that tape from a football perspective? Quarterback, running back, wide receiver, offensive line, defensive line, linebacker, defensive backs. What about that game? Did you look and say, okay, but at least they have this? I got nothing. I can only go by what's on tape and what have you done? As we're four games deep in this season, and there is yet to be a game where it has felt to me like this coaching staff's going to get it. There's been nothing so far that's made me look and go, okay, they lost that game, but they made this adjustment. They changed that. They tinkered with that. They moved this guy. They moved that guy. But the only movement you've had so far is you got Antonio Williams back. You plugged him back into wide receiver one. But even then, Syracuse started trying to take him away in the second half. Started changing defenses towards him, started putting him in double teams, whatever. They started creating issues for Antonio Williams to get loose or to prevent Antonio Williams from getting loose. And you just kept running the same plays at him when it clearly effectively removed that guy from being the productive guy you needed him to be. That's problematic. And there wasn't a response to it. Why would I think that all of a sudden? Now, there is one bit of good news, and we talked about this earlier. You've got a bye week. I think this is a time now. Dabo's done his press conference and radio show. Garrett Riley's done his press conference. Everybody's talked. Cade Klubnik took some questions yesterday. I got some audio from him. We'll play later on in the show. Everybody's talked. They've all addressed the media. Now is the time that I would say, as the arbiter of how coaches should handle situations.
Don't you do that.
Now is the time where I think it is very appropriate for that team to shutter the buildings. Now it's time to drop the hurricane shades down. Now it's time to stock up on the milk and bread. Now it's time to lock yourself in the practice facility and have some real tough conversations. Player to player, coach to coach, player to coach, coach to player. Because you're at North Carolina. That's a bad and poorly coached football team. You are at Boston College the week after that. Back-to-back road trips, but against two of the worst teams in the ACC. These are get-right games. Because then it's SMU, who is going to be fighting for their lives. It's Duke, who just hung 45 on NC State. It's Florida State coming to the crib. And you know they mad as hell about last year. And then it's at Louisville, who is going to want to hang 70 on you because they can. And if you get to the end of the year, and it is a bowl eligibility bowl between South Carolina and Clemson, you know, especially at their house, what they want to do. What on tape do I have to believe that the coaching is just going to suddenly kill it? I got nothing to lean on. Lock it down. Dial in. Go beat the hell out of North Carolina, get right. Texter said, Rob, is Clemson living in your head or what? Day three of the all-Clemson Rob Brown show. Well, A, it hasn't been. B, you understand that I am going to talk about things when they are wrong, not when they are good. When they are good, there's nothing to fix. I'm not going to sit here and go, everything is awesome. We're going to talk about what's wrong and what's bad because that's what needs to get worked on. That's what productive people do. Back after this on the Rob Brown Show on the Fan Upstate.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
South Carolina now knows their 2026, 27, 28, and 29 Southeastern Conference home and away opponents moving forward. Your rivals, we told you yesterday, your annual rivals that you will take on moving forward. Now we know the regular schedule for the rest of the ride. For the South Carolina Gamecocks in 2026, you will play Georgia, Kentucky, and Florida. Those are your three annual rivals. Added to the schedule on your rotational basis in 2026, Tennessee, Texas A&M, and Mississippi State. Those will be your three home games. Your three road games will be at Alabama, at Arkansas, at Oklahoma. Of your annual rivalry opponents in year number one of the nine-game slate, 2026, Georgia will come to Willie B., Kentucky will come to Willie B., and the University of Florida will be in Gainesville. And those will alternate through the 4 years, 26, 7, 8, and 2029. For the next 4 years. You've got Mississippi State, Tennessee, A&M at Alabama, at Arkansas, at Oklahoma next year. The year after that, you will play LSU, Mizzou, Texas, at Auburn, at Ole Miss, at Vanderbilt. In 2028, Alabama, Arkansas, Oklahoma, at Mississippi State, at Tennessee, at Texas A&M. And in 2029, Auburn, Ole Miss, and Vandy come to Columbia. You will be at LSU, Missouri, and Texas. And obviously, you will, as we mentioned, rotate in and out of home and away with those other teams as they go on and off your schedule. The schedule was set up so that if you play 4 years at South Carolina, you will play every other Southeastern Conference institution at least once home and at least once away. You will play everybody, unlike years gone by when you might go 6 years before you see a Southeastern Conference opponent a second time. Now you won't go further than one, and you will both visit and receive a visit from each of those institutions. So the schedule next season, and I do think, and this is going to be next year. You hate to go ahead and say we're looking ahead to next year, but hey, here's your opponents. We might as well, even if it's just for a brief moment. Mississippi State might be the easiest game you have on the docket next year. Maybe Florida, depending on what happens with Billy Napier. If Billy Napier gets canned, then maybe it's over for Florida. Maybe it is hard reboot time. They tried not to do a hard reboot when Billy Napier showed up. They brought in a guy who had already had some success at a lower level. They were able to retain a good chunk of that roster. They did not want to have a massive amount of turnover at Florida, but I've got the sneaky suspicion that if Billy Napier is released at the end of the year, and based on what we're seeing so far right now, probably, then maybe Florida and Mississippi State, depending on what ends up happening with Florida. Roadies to Alabama, Arkansas, and Oklahoma. Homers against Mississippi State, Tennessee, Texas A&M. And of your annual opponents, Georgia and Kentucky come to the crib. You are at Florida. The year after that, obviously at Georgia, at Kentucky. And Florida will come back to Columbia, South Carolina. It's maybe not the three. Georgia, I would have absolutely picked as an annual rivalry. As far as competitive balance goes, we talked about this. The Southeastern Conference wanted to do the best they could to protect historic rivalries across the Southeastern Conference, but also make sure that there was competitive balance to it, right? You didn't want to get saddled with three top-tier annual opponents if you are, you know, not that. So I think they did a good job. You got a towards the bottom of the conference, Kentucky, a towards the middle of the conference, Florida, and a towards the top of the conference, Georgia. And obviously, because these opponents, the Southeastern Conference reserves the rights to change them 5 years from now, there is the chance that those change down the line in order to restore competitive balance should one or more of these teams find themselves either moving up or dropping down the SEC power rankings as we get closer to that date. But I, you know, your schedule is what it is, as a lot of coaches are willing to say. Not an easy one for the Gamecocks moving forward. This is part of the reason that I have leaned very heavily on. The number one recruiting tool that South Carolina has, in my opinion, the number one recruiting tool that South Carolina has is creating a very unique culture. Because until you succeed at recruiting, and I'm not talking about what you've done the last couple of years, you have more NFL draft picks last year than in the history of the program. You've succeeded. You've gotten talent in. But until you can take, we got a bunch of three stars and a couple of four stars, and turn that into, we got a bunch of three stars, a bunch of four stars, and a couple of five stars, until that becomes more of a regular occurrence for you, it is probably going to be a while before we are a regular competitor for the Southeastern Conference becomes your biggest recruiting tool. Your biggest recruiting tool in South Carolina. This is why last week, after the opening loss in the Southeastern Conference, I pointed out last week I was, I don't want to use the word shocked, but I was a little bit surprised by how radio silent South Carolina went. And it wasn't because it wasn't the place to do it, right? Like, you're coming off a win, that's when you can break out, as Mark Stoops would say, the funny glasses and dancing around in the locker room. The reason I was surprised by the radio dark last week going into the Missouri game, and I got to say, like, I suspect we're going to hear more of the same this week. And here we are on Wednesday. You know, we heard and played a little bit of Shano's press conference from postgame. He did hit the podium again Monday, and I got a little bit of audio we're going to come to later on in the show from that. But I would point out that you're not really seeing a lot of the kind of unique tone of South Carolina that Shane Beamer has brought to this program. And I think that there is a reason for that. I don't love it, though. And I don't love it, though, because, as I have pointed out, having that unique voice, having that unique tone, that is part of what makes your program, regardless of football success on the gridiron, that's what makes it more compelling, interesting, dare I say attractive to the next generation of players. South Carolina is going to have to do a couple of things. Number one, you're going to have to be very good with NIL. And number two, you are going to have to, as worked for Lenora Sellers, you are going to have to create an attitude, a culture, a locker room, an environment where players go, yo, this is pretty dope. Like, this is cool. I want to be part of something cool, and this is pretty cool. And the same place where parents, like Lenora's dad said in that interview we talked about a few weeks ago, a place where parents go, my kid thinks it's cool, and I am very comfortable with him going there and playing there. So your voice, your development of a culture, as well as developing players, and that is something that, listen, if I'm South Carolina, and this is, I think, maybe the most disappointing thing about this season for me, if I'm South Carolina, one of my war cries right now is, look how many guys we sent to the league last year. We can, if you have NFL talent, we can develop you and get you where you want to go, to the professional level. And I would go so far as to say, as much as it is going to be labeled as little brother syndrome. One of my recruiting and sales tactics right now would be they're not developing guys at Clemson like they used to, which I think is something that even a lot of Clemson fans would agree with right now. They're not developing guys over there the way that we are developing guys here. And that needs to become a big-time sales pitch. That is something that Shano and Clayton and Mike Shula should be heavily leaning on right now. Like, it needs to be player development time. You need to be able to say, I asked the question, the most important question I can ask any football about any football team is this: what got better? What got better from week one to week two? What got better from week two to week three? What got better from three to four? And the answer right now for Clemson is, in my opinion, nothing. Now, the problem is right now, if I ask the same question for South Carolina, what got better from 1 to 2, 2 to 3, 3 to 4? What would the answer be to that? I don't know that I have one there yet either. It's certainly not the run game. It's certainly not the offensive line. In fact, if anything, I would say right now, and this may be, scratch that, I do think that this is a result of the offensive play calling right now. Is it unfair to say that even Lenore Sellers looks like he's regressed a little bit? Like, bad decisions with the football? We talked about that first and goal on the one scenario that turned into, what was it, second and 23? 24? Second and goal from the 24. And that, to me, was a direct result of poor decision-making from Lenore Sellers. But I also think it was a result of a poor decision from Lenore Sellers that was made because of the fact that on first and goal from the one, you called a drop back pass with Lenore Sellers as your quarterback. Even if you use him as a distraction and you hand the ball on some, you know, off guard, whatever, to Attaway or face on or whoever you want to in that spot, you put it on Lenore's and ask him to just do a pocket drop back pass. It made him look bad. You put him in a position where he might make a bad decision. If you know your quarterback is struggling with decision making, don't call plays that rely on his ability to make a great decision. Call plays to get him into a rhythm, to give him some confidence, to make him feel better about what he's doing, and then we can revisit all of that. But certainly don't do it on first and goal where you ask him to drop back in the pocket. Oh, by the way, with the least amount of available real estate you will have anywhere on a football field to do it.
Is there a chance that he audibled into that?
I don't think so. I don't think so. I mean, yes, there's a chance, but and we'll never know if he did or not. But I can't imagine Lenore Sellers said, first and goal from the one, I'm going to audible into me being Tom Brady. No. I think if he was going to audible in that moment, doesn't he audible into anything else?
Confidence sometimes will cause you to make decisions you shouldn't.
Either way, even if that's the case, that is still a bad decision. And you're set up in a spot where you've allowed him to do that. So at a point where one of these two teams would give themselves a big-time favor just by saying, we're the player development school in this state, neither one of them's doing that either. All right, let's take a break. When we come back, we get your water cooler cheat sheet right off the rip. We're going to talk some NFL coming up later on the show. Ordinarily, Denton Day would join us. He's got to move to Friday because he's got a couple of obligations today. So we will keep talking college football towards the end of the show. We got your TMFI on our awards and more. Now, if there's one guy who is real, Lonzo with a sports flash.
Unlike birds, because they're not real. It's 10 straight wins for the Atlanta Braves after a 3-2 victory over the Nationals. Hurston Waldrop collected his sixth win. Atlanta's bats slowed down with just six hits, but two of those were home runs from Ronald Acuna Jr. and Michael Harris II. The final game of the three-game series is today at 12:15. Second longest tenured coach in college football is out as Oklahoma State fired head coach Mike Gundy yesterday after a 1-2 start to the season. Gundy, who is a man, was in his 21st season leading the Cowboys, only Kirk Ferentz in charge of the Iowa Hawkeyes since 1999 has been in a locker room longer. Oklahoma quarterback John Mateer will miss at least a few weeks with a broken hand that will require surgery. Mateer sustained the injury in Saturday's 24-17 win over Auburn. Earlier in the week, Mateer became the Heisman odds leader, completing over 67% of his passes.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.